This dynamic message is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
Well, I have the privilege this morning of introducing someone to you. And before I do, let me give you a little bit of background. I told you last week that the Lord had been whispering some ideas to me about what to teach next. I had that message, was working hard on it. Thursday comes, Friday morning, Pastor Christina comes in where I'm sitting at my desk, and she's like, I was up most of the night because I had shared with her what I was going to be ministering on. The Lord gave me some ideas. And as she started to tell me what the Lord gave her, I said, Pastor Christina, that's not some ideas to supplement my message. The Lord gave you a message. Pastor Christina is an ordained minister. She's graduated with a bachelor's in ministry, and she's been serving the Lord since 15. By the time she was 17 years old, she was in charge of the 3 to 5 year old class at a large church and just continued to love the Lord, serve the Lord, been active in the community, won lots of people to Christ, ministered to lots of people, seen the Lord heal people as she's prayed for them. And so she comes with a great word this morning. I'm excited about it. I think you're going to be blessed. So let's give her a hand as she comes up this morning.
Well, good morning, Round Rock. I am excited to share with you some things that the Lord had shared with me. Thank you, Pastor Joel, for allowing me to minister today. It's a privilege. The title of my message today is Words Create. Have you ever created something that you were really proud of? You felt kind of good about it? I used to do lots of crafts. I used to do wreaths and crochet scarves and do a bunch of stuff. This one particular time, I made Christmas wreaths, and I was very proud of them. I made a few of them, and a multimillionaire lady bought one, and then she took it home to her neighborhood and hung it on her door. I was just amazed. I was just so proud of myself. I felt really good about it. I know that if you've created something, you felt really good about it. Another thing I've been really proud about is Pastor Joel and I created 3 lovely children. I'm very proud of them. And I kind of stepped back and said that this is good. I'm very excited about what God is doing in their lives. I believe what God did when he created the world and us is he stepped back and said, this is good. Moses tells us in the book of Genesis that in the beginning, God spoke over creation into existence, and he saw it manifested, and it was good. Let's go to Genesis 1, the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then God said, let there be light. And the light was. And God saw the light and said, that is good. We see this pattern repeat verse after verse in the beginning of Genesis, such as verse 9 and 10. God said, for the earth and the sea to form, and God saw it, and it was good. Verse 11 and 12. God said, for fruit, herbs, and grass to appear, God saw it, and it was good. Verses 14 and 18, God said, for the sun, moon, and stars to appear, for a time to begin day and night, and the seasons, God saw it. And what do you think he said? It is good. Verses 20 and 21, God said, let there be fish and birds, and God saw it and said, it was good. Verse 24 and 25, God said, let there be animals, cattle, and insects. And God saw it, and it was good. Some insects I wish he wouldn't have made. But anyway, let's turn to Genesis 1, 26. In the New King James versions, it says, God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. And then God saw everything he had made, and indeed, it was very good. If we're made in the image of God, that means we have creative force in our words just like he did. God spoke life into existence. He made colors, smells, and sounds. He loves variety. Personally, I love roses and hibiscus flowers that I see in Hawaii. I love the ocean. I could sit and listen to the ocean and be near the ocean probably the rest of my life and be just fine. I love to watch Animal Planet because I love to watch God's creation. I love to learn about the animals and their character and how they do things, how they take care of their own families. You know, hospitals nowadays, they're always asking us to donate blood. Why do you think that is? Because there's life in that blood to sustain life. Because of that blood, it sustains us and our human body. Who created us? Well, God did, right? Along with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Then you could say, we have the DNA of God in us, flowing through our veins. This means his life is in us. This means we have the ability to speak life into existence and sustain life in our world and in our lives. How do you feel when someone speaks harshly to you? Not happy, right? Have you ever seen someone that was happy and then get bad news and something negative? They just change, right? Let's look at Proverbs 12, 18 in the Amplified. There are those who speak rashly, like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Imagine for one moment if God got up and decided to create the world with harsh and rash words. You think of this sci-fi dark movie such as Thor. Has anybody seen Thor? And he has this planet of his half-brother, and it's ice. There's no form. There's no sustaining of life. It's just dark. God wants so much for us. He wants us to live in a world full of beauty and of good things for us to enjoy. Can you think of a time that someone spoke harsh words to you or spoke poorly about you? How did that make you feel? Did it bring life or did it bring death to you? Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit. Meaning it's our choice to bring life and death to someone's life. You may be saying, Pastor Christina, how do I change all that? I'm glad you asked. Psalms 141:3 says, set guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. In James 3:8 in the New Living Translation, it says, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil and full of deadly poison. And sometimes it praises the Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who are made in the image of God. And so, blessing and curses pour out of the same mouth. It says we have the ability to bless and curse. We have a choice. Don't sound like everyone else. He's saying that Christians, we need to understand that we're supposed to use words of praise and to give life. How does the world right now sound to you? The gas prices are too high. The flu season's coming, I might get sick. I don't have enough money to pay the bills. My children are acting up. There's just tons and tons of negative coming left and right to us on a daily basis. Sometimes you just turn on the news and you say someone's been shot, someone's been robbed. What type of talk is this? Is it giving us life? No. I really had a bad challenge with fear when I first got married to Pastor Joel. I figured that I had allowed myself to watch lots and lots of scary horror movies, people killing people and decapitating people. And it always seemed like I seemed to watch the movies that we kill the bad guy and then he comes back many times behind the door, pops out of a closet, and you're like, he killed him 5 times. Why won't he just die? I thought it was great as a teenager. I was just going with the flow and watching with my friends, and it was really lots of fun to get that adrenaline going. But little did I know that these were seeds that were being planted in my spirit, and I grew fear. Joel used to travel a lot, and he'd leave town, and I couldn't sleep at night. I'd stay up as long as I could until sleep just set in, and I'd go to sleep with a knife under my pillow because I just knew that somehow I would defend whatever was going to come about. That's how much fear had to have my life. I realized I needed to be delivered from this fear, so I prayed to God, and he set me free, thank the Lord. I don't watch these type of movies anymore. I have a really hard time with even sometimes commercials. I just really don't desire that fear to come back into my life. I believe Paul is saying, stop talking like the rest of the world. God has set you aside. We see in Ephesians 4:29 in the New King James Version, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Paul's saying, impart grace. Don't gossip. Don't talk about everyone around. Doesn't it seem to you that bad news travels faster than good news? I mean, something happens and everybody's talking about it. We give life to it, even more so. We can see in Proverbs 15:4 in the NIV, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Meaning, we speak words that are pure and we should speak well of others. Am I right?
Yeah.
In Psalms 1:3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also should not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Each one of you is a tree planted by the rivers of water of God. Our fruit is our future. It will be produced with our words. If you pour dirt into a glass of water, it can pollute it, and you can't drink it anymore, right? That's what happens when we put ungodly words into our heart, in our minds. We pollute ourselves. I believe that is saying that the tongue, to remain wholesome, we need to be in the Word of God, speaking things that are good and just and edifying. In Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Noelle, can you come up and help me for a second? My husband, Pastor Joel, has got Scottish heritage. A few years ago, I purchased 3 swords, one for him, one for my father-in-law, and one for my brother-in-law. It's a very powerful sword. It's used in battle. We recognize it. It's very powerful. Do you agree? I mean, this would kill some people. This means our words are just as powerful as that sword. It has the ability to cut things. Jesus speaks to Peter and says in Mark 11:23, for surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Does that say some of what he says wants? No. He will have whatever he says. There is so much negative in our world. How do we overcome this? Do you realize we are talking in extremes sometimes? Someone will say, oh, you spilled a cup of milk. And someone else will say, it's a huge mess. It's everywhere. And then someone else will say, I was in a little fender bender on the way to work today. And they'll say, no, my car is wrecked and I almost died. And you look at the car and you're thinking, how is that almost wrecked? It's just got a little indention. But we talk in these extremes. But when it comes to the Word of God, we're timid and we're shy and we're unsure. We don't want to say positive things or even say anything with conviction. We're just not sure what people will receive of it because the world's so full of negative that when you put something positive in it, all of a sudden it's like, who are you and what planet did you come from? Let's not fall into this trap. The devil wants us to think that we're no good for this world and that we don't have anything to offer. We are living, breathing, creative, and active people that have something to produce for this world. Our word produce fruit to feed other people's spirits. Our words can affect a person for a lifetime. And I know this in my personal life because I've had people in my life, in my past, that have spoke things over me that were negative, and I've had to really cast down those thoughts and really struggle through those and really not dwell on those because they didn't give me life. They were trying to stop me from doing the things of God. The words that you are speaking, do you really want them to happen or come to pass? Have you ever thought of saying something and then you're thinking, maybe I really wouldn't want that to happen? People have changed the world with their words. People like Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, they found influence in generations through their words. To create or invent something, don't we write it down? We start talking about the idea, and then we take action. Did you know our Bible is our action manual? Words have power to heal wounds or cause them. They can discourage or encourage. They can tear down or build up. The truths of God will change your life and transform the lives of people all around you. That's the fruit of good words. Words are powerful, and they impact our lives, either bad or good. How they affect us depends on how rooted our trees in the Word of God and how often we water them with the Holy Spirit. That determines how we'll handle that impact. Research shows that words have emotional, physical, and spiritual impact on us. For example, if the doctor comes to you and says a bad report, it impacts you, right? But the Word of God comes alongside and it says you're healed, it impacts you, right? But do we give much thought to the Word of God when the doctor's standing right there in front of you? How you process these words will require for you and me to renew our minds. We see in Romans 12, verse 2, in the New King James Version, "And do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If we don't renew our minds with the words we hear, we'll trigger these emotions. We'll trigger memories. Or we'll have circumstances that's hidden in our subconscious mind and we'll react in a negative way. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." The way people respond to words usually deals with their minds not being renewed and having all kinds of junk in our filters and the way we process what was said. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things that are good report, if you have virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Words are seeds that enter our mind and influence our life as they grow. Seeds of weeds will grow alongside seeds of vegetables. And one of them is going to be choked up. You know, in the springtime, everything starts blooming. We'll have pretty flowers, and then you'll see weeds in your garden. Don't we just run out there real quick and we pluck those out of our garden and out of our lawns? Because we want, why? We want our gardens and our yards to look nice. Why don't we do that with our mind? We need to pluck those things out that would choke up the Word of God and cause us to be defeated and worry about everything. Pull them out of our mind by killing them with the Word of God. Your words are seeds to the heart of soil. What you plant will grow and produce something for your future. If your future doesn't look bright right now because the seeds you have planted in your heart are blocking your visions, making it cloudy, who would like to help me real quick put dirt in my water? Jade, stand right here. Put a little bit of this dirt in that water. Or all of it. Just dump it all up. Just dump it. There you go. Good. Thank you. Thank you. This is what happens when we have negative in our life, our pure thoughts, our godly thoughts, the word of God that was in our life was the water. But then we listen to the news. We listen to bad reports. We listen to gossip. We listen to things that aren't pure and edifying. And this is what happens. It clouds up the vision. And we're not as in tune with God anymore because we have all this junked up in our filters. We have to do something to renew our minds. It's a conscious effort. Believe you me, been there, done that, still doing it. There is a price to renew our minds with the Word of God. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us to live healthy and victorious lives. What are we willing to do? Like all things, it takes time, it takes discipline, a regular routine, and a determination to change. God's living word is the Bible. His words are seeds. Hey, Devin, come here a second. These are seeds. If he planted these seeds in the ground right now, they're pumpkin seeds. What would he get?
Pumpkins.
So these are seeds. These are seeds. These represent the word of God. So we put it in the ground and we produce a harvest of good things, of good fruit. We need to put good things in our mind. Just like we daily watch the news or read the newspaper or maybe listen to a talk radio show. We need to put stuff in our mind like the teaching Pastor Joel just finished and a God encounter. A daily routine to read the Bible. A daily routine of praying to God and talking to him, fellowshipping with him. Listening to good, encouraging, upbeat music with good, encouraging words. I love the saying, change your mind, change your life. In Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And before you were born, I set you apart. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. And you seek me, and you'll find me. And you search for me in your heart. If your future looks cloudy, like this water in this vase, it's because we need to renew our minds and clear it up. Your plan of action will result in changing your life to reach your dreams. Have you ever seen the ads? You know, you're going to lose 30 pounds in 2 weeks, and you run out and you buy it because you want to make it effective. You're going to change something in your life. So I run out, at least in the last 30 years, I see an ad and I run out. Okay, this diet pill is going to change my life. I get the package. I read the instructions. Number one, eat this way. Okay, got it. Number two, take the magic pill or take the magic powder. Got it. Check. Number three, exercise. I don't have to do that right now. I don't want to do that. I don't want to exercise. I mean, you know, two out of three. Something's got to work, right? Well, to get the results off the ad that you saw on TV, don't you think we have to do all of it? Most of us stop the plan early because we don't see results as fast as we want. Or maybe I'm the only one. Is that right? No. Have you ever just stopped and questioned God's word? You try for a little while. Well, you know, that doesn't work for me. Yes, I prayed for that and it doesn't work for me. I prayed about that and it doesn't work for me. So we just give up. How long did we really try? A day? A week? To renew our mind, it will take an everyday, ongoing process because things come at us quickly. We have to keep the Word of God in our minds, in our hearts, to combat the situations that we go through on a daily basis. Have you ever heard someone say, think before you speak? That's some really good advice. You ever realize that you said something and I wish I could take that back. I shouldn't have said that, man. And you just kind of beat yourself up about it. Well, I remember this one particular time. I was about 8 or 9 years old. And in the summertime, I used to go visit my grandma in Washington State. I used to love to go visit her. My cousin had gotten a horse. She loved this horse. She was going to show this horse. So she fed it. She trained it. She spent lots of time I don't know why it keeps doing that. Lots of time with this horse. Well, the horse got out of its pen one day, and it got hit. And they had to put the horse down to put it to sleep. It broke my cousin up. She cried and cried, and she was just devastated. My cousin and her family came to visit my grandma while I was there. So we're sitting around the living room, and we're just chatting. How's everybody been? Look how much you've grown. What's new in your life? What's going on? My cousin was sitting on the couch, and she was just kind of still in her mourning state of losing her horse. So the horse conversation came up and how it died. Without even thinking, I said, do they still make flutes out of horses? And my cousin the face is on everybody's, was just shocked. I looked around like, what'd I say? You know, I just didn't think about it. I was not the favorite person in that room that day. Be determined to plant good seeds. If you plant seeds into your life of God's word, you're going to reap those seeds. They're going to produce something. Every seed produces something, whether it be good or bad. Yeah. Are you going to plant good seeds to bring life and health, or weeds that bring death or hell into your life? Are you choking out your good dreams and your good future God has planned for you? Are you killing other people's dream and ruining their outlook on life just with your words? Our brain is wired to respond in a certain kind of words. If they're harsh words of disappointment, then their response is going to be like a dog that had been beaten up. The dog flinches every time you make a move. When I was very young, my dad used to love to hide behind something and then jump out and scare me. I mean, every opportunity he had, it could be pitch dark and I could be walking through somewhere, and he would just, you'd see the door creak open, and I'd be like, not thinking anything of it. He just jumps out. Scare. Well, it's really funny when you're a kid, and you know, you get your adrenaline going, and oh, he thinks it's so funny. Well, little did he know that he was planting some seeds in my life, that Pastor Joel could be walking around the corner, or my son could walk up behind me, and I flinch because I get startled. That was planted in my subconscious, though. It's a seed that was planted. He didn't mean any harm. It was just a joke. Reading positive biblical affirmations will help you renew your mind. Build your faith for positive future because God's word is holy and loves you and wants you to succeed. Your thoughts will determine your attitude. Your attitude determines your actions, and your actions determine your future. They're all together as a domino effect. How do you change your attitude? By renewing the mind with the word of God. You know, when I was a teenager, I used to like to party and drink and smoke just to be part of the crowd, because that's how you were part of the crowd. I was around 10th or 11th grade. Somewhere in that time, I received the Lord, and I desired the things of God more than I desired the party. So school starts back up, and I go around, and no one's really saying anything about me not going to the parties anymore, and they're not smoking out in the back or anything. Except one day in English class, my English teacher says, I don't even know why the conversation came up. She says, can anybody quote the Beatitudes? It was kind of quiet in the room, and one of the famous football players says, oh yeah, Christina can. She's going to church now. I had no clue what they were talking about. I was a brand new Christian in the Lord, and I didn't even know what the Beatitudes were. My face turns 100 shades red, and I just kind of sank in my seat. Everybody just laughed at me. I had no idea what they were talking about. But you realize I set myself apart from them. It was my choice. There's a saying, you are who you hang around, or another version is, you become who you hang around. And that's true in the work world or in the church world. When I was newly married, I'd hang around different ladies just trying to fellowship and trying to hang out with the group in that area, in that age group. But all they did was complain and gossip about their husband or about their job or about their family. I don't want to hang around this. So I chose to separate myself from that situation. What we dwell on, we become. Let's dwell on the Word of God today and Become what he wants us to become, okay? Amen? A repeated action will determine the results. We must change our habits to determine our destiny. It requires the practice of discipline. There's a saying that Mother Teresa says. She says, yesterday is gone, and tomorrow's yet to come. But today, let's begin. So let's not worry about what we did in the past or yesterday or even before we got here. Tomorrow's not here yet. Let's not worry about it. But let's start today by repeating the things of God in our life so we can start planting those good seeds so they can prosper and make our future bright. Amen. Repeat after me. I am a child of God.
I am a friend of Jesus Christ.
God has great plans for me.
God plans to prosper me.
God loves me.
And I love God.
I have been redeemed and forgiven
of all my sins.
I have direct access to the throne of God.
I am confident in God that he's going to complete a good work in me.
I have not been given a spirit of fear,
but a power of love
and sound mind.
And I can do all things through Christ
that strengthens me.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. The preceding message is copyrighted by Christian Family Church International and may not be duplicated for commercial use. Non-commercial distribution of this message to a reasonable number of friends for the purpose of spreading the gospel is allowed, with the restriction that this oral notice must stay a part of the message.